Today we are continuing in a series on healthy relationships. And just in your bulletin, we do something here called Talk Back, and that is there's a number, my cell phone number, that you can text if you have questions or comments along the way. Just to clarify, somebody was wondering whether it was back talk. It's not really back talk, it's talk back, but if you send me something, as long as you put your name on it, then I can talk back or back talk to you as well. You may wonder, why healthy relationships? Life is relationships. And I love what Pastor and Professor Dale Johnson, we looked at this, those of you who were last week. And if you didn't get last week's message, it was the launch. Go back online, listen to it. It's essential. It's the foundation. And he said, at the center of the universe is a relationship. It is out of that relationship and for that relationship that you and I were created and redeemed. To be human, to be fully human, is to be in relationship, because God created us in his image as relational beings, and we were created to be in four foundational relationships. I don't know why it's stuck. Something's stuck there. Relationship with God, with self, with others, and with creation. And today's focus, I thought it would be appropriate to focus on God's wisdom for human relationships between parents and children. The Ten Commandments are basic training for maintaining a healthy relationship with God and others. Not for establishing a healthy relationship with God. In fact, if we look at just the preface that starts the Ten Commandments off, before it gets to the Ten Commandments, God says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. So he's talking to all these people who had been living under slavery, under taskmasters all of their life. And God sent them a savior in Moses, who was his instrument to deliver them and to bring them out of Egypt into a land of freedom. And as he meets together with his people, he declares that this is on the basis, this is how you may respond. And if we look in the New Testament, it's very similar. It's just a greater exodus that the savior that God sends, his own son, Jesus Christ, does. And I love the way Paul puts it in Romans 6. For we know that our old self, that is our self that lived with me, myself at the center, instead of God, was crucified with him, that is with Christ, when we confess our sins and we say, God, you take over the ownership of my life. That we should no longer be slaves to sin, but alive to God in Christ. The Ten Commandments were never intended to be rules to try and earn God's favor, but rather embrace and express it. And so I find it helpful to think of them, and very biblical, to think of them like marriage vows. After all, the church is called the Bride of Christ, right? Like marriage vows, they declare how those who have entered into a lifelong committed relationship with God will seek to live. That's right. You know what? I remember when I was growing up, and I grew up in a Christian home, and I grew up going to church, and I thought that, you know, being connected with, that being a follower of God was about a whole list of rules that you needed to do. And if you didn't follow the rules, something really bad was going to happen to you, like hell. And I wanted to avoid that like the plague. But then something happened. A couple of teenagers in my youth group who were a couple of years older than me shared about a life-changing relationship with God. And I could see in them that I thought, you know, becoming a Christian was going to, you know, be a damper, is going to be less, is going to be under rules. And I found instead it was liberating in their lives. And I thought, if I get to be like that, if it isn't about religion and rules, but about a real relationship with God, that's what I want. And ever since I decided to commit my life to following God, it's been a relationship with God. And it makes all the difference in the world. And perhaps you've never entered into a relationship with God. And I just want to take a moment this morning. The rest of this stuff is dependent on actually having a relationship with God. Otherwise, you won't really want to do and be what God is like. But if you want to have a life-changing relationship with God, I just want to take a moment. And it's as simple as praying to God. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Somebody comes through your door, they're knocking. What do? You say, hello there. No, you open the door, Jesus says, and you welcome me in. And that's how you enter into a real relationship with God. I want to give you an opportunity to do that. We're just going to bow and pray for a moment. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you came not to bring a whole bunch of rules, but even now, to anyone who opens the door as we sense you knocking and as we open the door of our hearts, you've promised that you will come in and that you will eat with us and us with you. God, I thank you. Thank you for a relationship with you. Amen. If you've never had a relationship with God before, and you prayed that prayer, and you said, yes, Jesus, come into my life. I want to talk to you afterwards. Talk to me. I want to help get you started on this amazing relationship with God. Well, I want to continue on. This is about a relationship with God and living the way that God lives. Well, Exodus chapter 20. You want to turn to Exodus chapter 20. The first four commandments, by the way, are about a loving God. The last six are about loving others. In Exodus chapter 20, our text today says, honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. And in Ephesians, in the New Testament, in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul will pick up on this, add a little bit to it, but he would say, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Why is it right? Because this is the way that God, and he says, honor, he quotes the command, honor your father and mother, which he says is the first commandment with a promise, that it may will go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. And he also adds a caveat to fathers, do not exasperate your children, instead bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Now this commandment may hardly seem earth-shattering, yet tucked away in the nooks and crannies of this domestic instruction is a wealth of truth, and we want to look at it. And I think the first thing that it really tells us is focus on the family for healthy society and relationships. I say this because the command to honor one's parents has three aspects worth quickly noting. First, its placement. It stands first in the sixth of what I call the horizontal commands. The first four commands are about a relationship with God. These are relationship with others. Secondly, it's the only one of the six, if you notice, that's stated positively. The rest are all do not, do not, do not. This is like aim for this bullseye center. And thirdly, it's the only one that includes a major incentive. As we saw in Ephesians 6, Paul says, this is the first commandment with a promise so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. And these three aspects, I think, indicate how foundational the family is to our health and well-being as a whole society. Therefore, the family is the primary human relationship where our faith and core values need to be exercised. I'll say more about that later. But it's also, that's why it's grave warnings and consequences are given in the Old Testament to those who dishonor or curse their parents. That is put on par, like cursing one's parents and dishonoring them, that is put on par with treason, with idol worship, and murder as capital offenses worthy of death. That's bad. That's bad because it is like a plague that will actually kill society and kill the weak and the vulnerable when it is ignored. Among the sins which the New Testament says will be rampant in the social chaos and evil of the last days is disobedience to parents. You know, it's interesting, one writer observed that more than ever we have big houses and broken homes, high incomes and low morals. It's time to refocus, to focus on the family. Well, one might wonder, what is the target audience of this? It can be very easy to assume that clearly young children are included in the scope of this command, and it should be taught to them. And I know the kids learned this in the in Kids Zone, and they came home and they said, we learned the fourth commandment, humor thy father and thy mother. Okay, not quite right, but at least they're trying to learn this important command. So is it focused on children? Well, there are a number of indicators in the Old and New Testament that the primary target group is actually adults. After all, the rest of the commands are primarily addressed to adults, about not committing adultery, not bearing false testimony, etc. And the text actually in which Christ quotes this command in the New Testament, if you look at it in Matthew 15, verse 4, you will find that his words are embedded in the context in which it's talking about children providing for their aging parents' needs. And between Ephesians and Jesus quoting in the Old Testament, it's clear that this command of honoring is intended to be applied from cradle to grave, we would say. No expiry date in your life. Well, what does it mean? What does it mean to honor one's parents? So one of the things I was watching recently, a clip from Old Testament professor Dr. Bruce Waltke, and he was being asked, how do we read the law, like the commands, how do we read those well? They seem just kind of basic, and how do we read that with the rest of Scripture? And I thought it was worth seeing this, so if you could bring that up.
But that's why it's very difficult to answer a question like this, because it's such a big subject. Let me just say one more thing. You see, you can go down the highway and it will say, drive carefully. Okay, that's like love God with all your heart. Great, but what does that mean? What does it mean to drive carefully? Well, then you get road signs that tell you 35 miles per hour, yield, stop. You get all the details of what it means to drive carefully. In the same way, love God with all your heart gets broken down into the Ten Commandments. This is what it means to love God with all your heart. This is how you behave. And then you may even, in driving, you have to take a written test. And then you might get into Proverbs, which gives you even more detail so that, for example, you're told in the Deuteronomy not to commit adultery. But in Proverbs, what do you do? When the wife comes into the room who's a virtuous woman, a husband stands up in her honor. Now, that's detail. You see, it's wonderful material.
I think it is wonderful material. So we'll look very briefly at a few of the details of what, first, just the word honor, a word study. What does that mean? Honor explained. What does it mean to honor one's parents? The Hebrew word is actually kavod, and it means, just in ordinary usage, to make heavy. So honoring is not only taking our parents seriously, but giving them the weight, we would say, and respect that they deserve. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32, indicates that we should treat them with distinction. It says, rising to rise in their presence. Try that on Mother's Day at lunch today, okay? And Proverbs 23, verse 22, indicates that this command has no expiry date. It says, listen to your father who gave your birth, and do not despise your mother when she is old, or neglect. Parents are to be respected even when they no longer possess the powers of mind or body with which to impress us like they did when we were kids. Remember that? When we thought that dad could fix anything, and mom, oh, she's the best cook in the whole world. As growing children, the focus is on obedience and respect. We saw that in Ephesians, and we see that worked out in other places in the Bible. But Ephesians 6 verse 4 also underlines that fathers, parents, should not be overbearing. And the coming of age story of Jesus in Luke 2. You remember one? The one about when Jesus is a teenager or he's on the edge of it. 12, he's bar mitzvah age, becoming a son of the law, beginning this adult process. Remember that story where there are limits being put on parental authority because there's a higher authority calling him at work. And this happens with our own kids as they mature. And Genesis chapter 2, when it's the story of Adam and Eve, it will say, and there needs to be the leaving of one's home family and cleaving to your wife and the new family, says to Adam. And I have an interesting story about this. Elaine, before we got married, her mother is a widow, my mother-in-law is a widow, and she was in the habit of phoning her on a very regular basis. And so we're on our honeymoon, and Elaine says, I need to phone home. And she is told, you know, stop phoning. But she's told that when she phones and her mom, and her mom says, what are you doing phoning me? Stop it! Click. So I appreciate my mother-in-law, and that was one of the moments especially. There's limits, you know, in terms of how that is to be. But because adult children, the focus is of this command is to be respecting, caring, providing, prioritizing, even as there are limits on their authority over us. Because parents must not demand to be loved more than Jesus. You see, two places where this principle gets challenged the most is when it comes to conversion and also to a calling maybe to sacrificial service. And that's when parents can want to, can sometimes push against us. Well, I want to get to honor illustrated. What does it look like to honor our parents? I think commentator Klaus Bachmuhl's suggestions that I'll read in a moment are accurate and practical. He says, this means place them high in one's order of priorities. In practical terms, this means that we are to care for them materially. We must be willing to give our money, but it also means to enjoy fellowship with them. We must be willing to give our time and our company. After the death of one parent, he says, the other may suffer a growing sense of loneliness. That's true, right? And we'll have greater need of the children's companionship. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, Paul makes it clear that it is the responsibility of children, actually, to look after their parents and grandparents. 1 Timothy chapter 5, this is worth noting. remember sharing this with my sister years ago when she was in the midst of caring for aging mother-in-law. 1 Timothy 5, verse 3 to 8 says, he says, give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn, first of all, to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family, and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. The widow who is really in need and left all alone puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and to ask God for help. But the widow who lives for pleasure is dead even while she lives. Give the people these instructions too, so that no one will be open to blame. In fact, stated negatively, if anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Commended and also warned about neglecting that. The smallest social unit that can handle the job should do it. Indeed, if anyone does not provide, they've denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Reminded of Jesus himself embodying living this command when Jesus on the cross, John chapter 19, verse 27, if you want to see the reference, Jesus there, he's almost at the end of his life on the cross, and he turns to his beloved disciple and he says, behold your mother, and to him, behold your son. He's making sure that she is going to be taken and cared for when he is gone. How have you seen parents honored? You ever seen that? I have. I've seen people who phone or visit their parents every day, not just for a week, every week, for not just a month, not just a year, not just a decade, sometimes for several decades. That's honoring one's parents. I just met recently with a friend that I had pastored with years ago. Rudy was, I was associate pastor, and he mentored me when I was at Sherbrooke Mennonite Church in Vancouver a number of decades ago. Hadn't seen him for quite a while. Out in the conference in Chilliwack, he says, oh, you want to go for a ride? We had a break, and he takes me out to his farm, and as we're talking to where they're living now, they had been missionaries for years in Brazil. Didn't have money when they came back to buy a home at these prices. 5 kids. Their kids said, you know what, Mom and Dad? We've decided that we're going to collectively, we can purchase a small farm. There's a house on it that you got a yard that you can live in. It's got a machine shop where we can do our work in the back. And together we can do this. I was blown away by that. I thought, there are kids who are honoring what their parents have done. It was wonderful to see. You ever seen parents dishonored? Maybe it's in an attitude. Maybe it's in an action. Thinking about the prevalence of elder abuse and neglect. Just read a World Assembly on Aging report that said in Australia, Canada, and the UK, United Kingdom, surveys have found that the portion of older persons reported as abused or neglected range from 3 to 10%. In Canada, neglect was found to be the most common form of abuse at 55% of the reported cases. 15% of cases were physical abuse and 12% were financial exploitation of people when they're in a most vulnerable time in their life. That ought not to be, is it? Well, you may have lingering questions. I don't have time to get to them. What about negligent or irresponsible parents? Should we bail them out? I'll have to leave that for another time. What about the spiritual family's role? I think ideally it should be additional and collaborative rather than competitive and replacing. But the church family can be at its best when it fills in the gaps, especially whether it's for single parents, lonely seniors. I would like to say more, but other than to say fostering intergenerational relationships. That is one of the blessings, the greatest opportunities that we have as a church. There's not many places in society when you have all of the ages together. And when we have a church picnic, if you're not interacting with all the different ages, you are missing out on a great opportunity to expand your world, and likewise, them to expand theirs. In conclusion, we find ourselves in a time when I think a new generation may have to go back to square one and rediscover God's foundational wisdom and learn the foundations to harmonious, healthy, horizontal relationships all over again. The family is the foundation of the moral and spiritual and physical order of this world and the larger community that we call society. Parenthood is an honorable role. It is a sacred calling. It really is. It is a sacred calling. It is put the honor, that kind of honor that's used, that word is used most often with honoring God. It's putting it in that same camp, if you will. And too often, it is a role that is devalued, and not only devalued, it's outsourced. You know what that is? You give somebody else to do it. And that happens when children are young and when parents are old. Now, having support, people, and systems to help us care well for the young and the old is wise. It really is. But outsourcing most of our role with the young and the old, that is not wise. It is not wise. And then food for thought for you. Is there something that you need to stop doing? Maybe it's using that tone to your mother-in-law. Is there something that you need to keep doing? Maybe you're growing weary in doing good, and God is saying, no, keep doing that. Keep visiting. Keep calling. Keep supporting. Or maybe is there something to start doing? Yeah, I think I need to make this a priority. This is what it's going to look like. I just want to give a moment. We're going to pray, but just a moment of silence first, and just to listen. What is God putting his finger on for you in your life? Let's pray. Some of us, today your word is to stop doing something so that we can begin honoring parents. For some who have grown weary, your word may be, keep doing it. This is pleasing to me. And for some of us, it may be, it's time to start doing something to make this a priority. Lord, we thank you for your wisdom, for your counsel, and for your help that you give us by your Spirit. Help us to practice honoring our parents and to live like you live. Amen.